Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Voice Magazine podcast. I am Saskia Kloost, the deputy editor of Voice Magazine, and today I'm going to be speaking to Bulgarian choreographer, dancer, director, producer, writer, Costa Karakchan, about his career and his new film In Her Skin that combines dance and fashion in all of the best ways.
Great, so hi Saskia, my name is Costa Karakchan and I'm a film director and choreographer from Bulgaria. My work explores how we can become more empathetic and more kind with each other through movement and storytelling. And I'm really passionate about a lot of social topics, but especially LGBTQ rights here in Bulgaria.
Amazing. And how did you get into your career? How did you start?
I started dancing when I was 5 years old, and I had a girlfriend in kindergarten. And we were, you know, dating, and our parents wanted us to try some dance lessons. They saw that, you know, as little kids, you're always dancing around, being hyperactive. And so they signed us up for ballroom dance lessons. And my girlfriend, she never showed up for the lesson, but I went and I loved it. And I've been dancing ever since. First, I started as a competitive ballroom dancer growing up. And I wasn't really sure if it would, you know, become a career or not. But when I was 18, I got invited to join Dancing with the Stars in Vietnam as a professional dancer.
Wow.
And that was crazy, you know, being 18 years old and getting to do such a big project with these, all of the cameras and the live audience. And it was just massive. And I immediately loved it and decided that, you know, if I book this job, then I guess I can book another one afterwards, and then it all rolled.
That is an adorable story, though, by the way. Your girlfriend didn't show up, and now look where you are. This could have been her as well. Who knows?
Yeah. And it's funny because we're still friends to this day, and she follows, you know, all the projects. And I always give this shout out to her because it's so funny how it all started.
Does she still dance as well?
No, she never went to that first lesson. But yeah, we're still very close friends.
Oh, that is an adorable story. I actually love that. So if you hadn't had gone to those to that dance class, what do you think you would have been doing? Like, well, where were your other interests when you were a kid?
So I come from a family of 99% doctors. My parents are doctors, my grandma, my aunt, my uncle, everyone is in the medical profession more or less. And, you know, up until I got that offer to do Dancing with the Stars, I had even applied to uni, planning to study medicine. So it was something that was very much on the cards. I think it's such an amazing profession. So there wasn't that much pressure from my family, but I personally wanted to, you know, continue the tradition. Yeah. And so when I got accepted to Columbia University while I was doing the show in Vietnam, and I decided to change my major from pre-med to dance. And, you know, at first, my parents, they weren't super happy because I had spent so many years telling them that I would become a doctor. So they were obviously very excited about that. But then they very quickly came around, and they've always been super supportive. But I'm still very fascinated, I think, by the way, as doctors, they're so much of the conversations we have had growing up are about how can you help people, like what people are going through. And I think this line of this social aspect of their work is very much in the artistic work that I also create.
So yeah, not a doctor, but you've taken that core value and put it into your dance.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine the surprise. It's quite a jump from pre-med at Columbia to dance at Columbia. But I've seen some of your work and I'm just really glad that you made that choice because now here you are. So
Thank you.
you've worked with some like really cool artists and you've worked with some really cool brands as well. Who would be like a dream collaboration for you?
Oh, I think like 100% FKA Twigs, because
Oh, her.
she's such a visionary in the way, you know, she approaches every like small detail of the craft. Because of course she started as a dancer, and then you can see just how hardworking she is with how much she's progressed as a artist, how much she's brought like passion and you know, pole dancing and fencing and all of these disciplines that, you know, if you're a music artist, it's very easy to just be very superficial and pretend you know how to do this thing because it would look cool in a music video or something. But then she goes and she studies it for a year, and then when she shows off that skill, it's amazing. It's at the level that is really paying respect to the people who do the thing in and out every day. So I really admire how thorough she is with her craft, and it would be really amazing to work with her.
I could imagine FKA Twigs having a segment in your film in her skin. Can you imagine her in the woods just
Yeah,
dancing the way she does? That would be amazing.
definitely.
Who knows? You might do like a reboot in her skin 2.0 and FKA
Yeah,
Twigs would be in there.
she can play all the women.
Yeah. Different costumes, different fashion. It would be great. No, really good choice. I adore FKA Twigs. So you also write and you teach as well. I think to teach as a choreographer, it seems like quite a natural progression. Like you've got so much, you know, like talent, you're kind of doing it anyway. But how did you get into the writing side of your career?
I've always been very interested in writing because as a kid growing up, you know, even if you do perform as a dancer, I'm still as a person quite shy and introverted. So sitting down and having this space just to be with your thoughts and see how you feel, like that's always been something that I really enjoyed. And then I found that through writing, you get to kind of cultivate a voice or a persona that you might not always feel so confident in front of other people. So it can be a way to like really ground yourself and become more confident. And then I remember specifically when I was applying to Columbia University, there was a very important part of the application was writing this personal essay about the time that you underwent some type of transformation or change. And I worked really hard on that piece. I wrote about one of my dance teachers who was quite hard on us. Now reflecting back, I would say even, you know, very emotionally abusive to us as young dancers. And I wrote about a time that me and my dance partner, we really defied what he wanted us to do, and we went with our own instinct and what we believed in. But this was something that, you know, sitting down and writing about it, I found that I could look at the story in a more objective way. So much of writing is about reclaiming that power, right? So we get to, through writing, really reflect on our experiences. And now, as a film director and choreographer, it's always really helpful to reflect on your own process as well. Sometimes the work happens so fast that you're like relying on instinct or just trying to get the shot or trying to get the performance out. And then sometimes you don't really know the method behind your own madness. So I like to sit down at the end of a project and reflect in writing, like what worked, what didn't work, how I can be better for the team, or maybe if someone from the team did something that wasn't okay, like how could I prevent that situation in the future? So it's all like feeding into the work, because the work is so, it's so hard to touch it and feel it, especially with dance. Like once you do it, it's gone. So writing gives it this longer life, I feel.
And also, like, making the films that you do, you get to watch it over and over again. I guess that helps in your reflecting process. So tell us a bit about your newest film, In Her Skin, and what was the creative process behind that? What's it about? Tell us everything.
So In Her Skin was a really fun project. It's about these five women in a small town in Bulgaria. All of the action takes place around Lake Kleptuza. It's a lake that is really beautiful. It has these like waterfalls. It has a very calm like riverbed also, and it's a place where everyone in the actual town, Velingrad, they like to go and, walk around, feed the ducks. It's a very potent place, because in a small town, people can't help but congregate around, the one or two main things in town. So it's somewhere that if you go, you're bound to see other people. They'll, see who you're with, what you're wearing, and Velingrad, the city, is where I actually spent a lot of my dance lessons, because the dance teachers there were quite good. So every weekend for 6 years, I would commute to this town 2 hours away from Sofia. And there were so many kids like traveling 3 or 4 hours every weekend for dance practice. We were all crazy. And it's a very small town. So sometimes you're just walking down the street and then you go to dance class, and the teacher is like, I heard that you had lunch at this restaurant and this is what you ordered. Like, why did you have the mayonnaise? And you're like, what?
What?
Yeah. And people always would somehow know what you're up to. And I thought that was like very funny. It's, very fun twist on this constant surveillance that, we talk a lot about as people in the 21st century. But having this mysticism of the lake, and then this idea of people always observing your every action, together with the co-director and co-writer Antonia Georgieva. She's a very close friend. She's based in London now, but we've worked together in Bulgaria for over 10 years. We decided to just have a lot of fun with this idea and really push it to like a funny stereotypical place. So we devised these five female characters, the housewife, the femme fatale, the runaway, the lonely girl by the lake, and the ghost. The ghost is the one that, something tragic happened to her by the lake, and her sister is always there sitting on the edge of the water, like reaching out and trying to feel her presence. And the ghost is this person that kind of unites everyone, because she's tired of everyone in town just keeping their distance and silently judging each other. So she kind of steps into their head for a second to freak them out and give them a collective experience.
I think that's so the whole sorry, I just can't get over your teachers telling you that you shouldn't have ordered like the mayonnaise. Like that's
Yeah.
just crazy. That whole small town kind of mentality. I do think that's something that will translate in whatever country your film is being viewed in, because everybody has a town like that in
Yeah.
yeah, maybe not as extreme as that. but definitely Oh, I saw this person that like she bought this and all of that. So it's a really interesting concept and I think it's great. It's quite I don't know, it's quite like it's not something you'd think of, you know, you have that everyday nosy like everybody in your business and to make a whole concept out of it, forcing people to kind of think about the way that they stereotype others through dance, I think, and fashion as well. Really interesting idea.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very fun getting to design the characters also because we worked with a really great partner on the project, Fashion Days. They're a really big fashion retailer here in Bulgaria and Romania, and they have a lot of brands on their roster. So for our stylist, Orlin Bakarjiev, it was actually a real treat getting to work with having all of this fashion available and really design the characters, because we were very specific with the brief. Like with the housewife, we were like, she has to look rich, she's a widow, so she's wearing something black, she needs to have a purse that she can sling. Like we were very particular with all the details and the intricacies of the characters, and then he was able to, working with this fashion partner, really bring everything to life in a fun way. And also, we were really inspired by the self-portraits of Cindy Sherman, because as a photographer, she, in the period that she worked, she would devise these self-portraits. Like she would dress up as a these mysterious women, maybe with a headscarf and sunglasses, and she would go to like a motel or, in front of a office building and just take these very staged self-portraits that you don't know who the woman in the photo is, but you immediately like you start to have a story about who she is and why she's there. And playing with this the gaze that we can't help but, because we've been so conditioned by all types of media, to already have a story about the women that we see. Because I think, especially when we look at women, we tend to create more of a story based on the appearance. With men, we tend to see them more as three-dimensional people, right? Everyone is like, oh, they're their own person. But with women, we're much quicker to judge. So this is something that we wanted to play with and question in the film.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the right fit for you to team up or to focus on the fashion because we judge women a lot by their fashion as well. Oh, she's wearing this, which means she's like given up. If she's wearing something dressed down,
Yeah.
she's promiscuous. If she, her skirt goes above her knee, all of that stupid. You know, stuff.
Yeah.
You never look at a guy in a t-shirt and be like, he's given up on life. Like it
Exactly.
just doesn't work like that. So yeah, I completely understand like the thought process and the creative process behind the film. It's great. So you write, you obviously you dance as well, and you like you said, empathy and kindness is something that you explore in like your films. Why do you think dance is like the right meat? Like, how do you think dance translates to everyone to get that safe for you to get that message across, though? Like, how do you keep the message through dance when it can be so subjective?
Yeah, it's always interesting process working with dance, because the more years you spend honing the craft, you get to you can really interpret what a dancer is saying with their body. But you have to kind of turn off that like professional brain off and try to take the distance and look at it from a perspective of someone who, may have never attended a contemporary dance performance. Like, I'm really interested in this power of art in general to reach people that wouldn't be part of the conversation that we're having. So with dance, it can be especially tricky because it's a form that is still very much seen as something elitist. People don't want to feel like uneducated or not smart enough when they see something more abstract and they don't immediately get what it's about. So I try to bridge this gap in my work by always making sure that it's never like pure dance. Like in my work, I don't, in the last few years that we've also done live work, it's never been on, a proscenium stage with the dancers just wearing nude bodysuits and there's a spotlight and it's like very interpretive, which is also great. The work that we've been doing, we had two performances, one set in a culinary school. So it's about the life of the professional chef in the kitchen, but told through dance. And this year we did a performance at a landfill here in Bulgaria talking about fossil fuel pollution. And that was amazing because we got to immerse the audience in these like kilometers of garbage from a few of the towns in the region, and that was really powerful. So the movement is always in conversation with the location, with the fashion, with the dramaturgy. Collaborating with Antonia is really great because she comes from more of a theater background, so we're always asking the questions back and forth, like, is this movement giving enough of a story, or is there a story that then I can base the choreography on? I always need this type of, I would say, more emotional place to create from. As a choreographer, I find it difficult to just create for like movement's sake. So I'm always, if I don't have the backbone, then I don't have the motivation to create something. My first film, which kind of gave me this whole direction of using dance as a more social tool, was it was a film called Waiting for Color that dealt with the persecution of LGBTQ people in Chechnya in Russia. So in Chechnya, I think in 2019, we started getting or 2018, we started getting these reports of queer people being systematically tortured, kidnapped, and beaten to death by their own government. And for me, as a queer person at the time I was studying in New York, it was just very, I felt very powerless that something like this is happening, in the times that we're living in. So I thought, how can I amplify the stories of these people through the tools that I have at my disposal right now? So I created Waiting for Color with a really talented crew of friends who all volunteered their time with. It was a film created with zero budget and based on the real testimonies of people from Chechnya. I developed a choreography that kind of tries to get to the emotional core of their stories, but without being too literal, because I think working on these topics, it's very important not to recreate the trauma, but to try to find some meaning to it. So the film is 6 minutes, but it forces you to sit down and while you're watching, my body moving, actually be confronted with the stories of what they're going through. And the film was like, it was a very surprising mix of these ideas, but it worked in a really powerful way. And it's been screened at over 30 festivals. People from Chechnya saw it, and for them, they felt like it was a tasteful reflection of their story, which was really meaningful to me. And then through the film, I met some activists who gave me the idea to also pursue a master's in human rights, which I did in Venice at the Global Campus of Human Rights, to really get this understanding of where my art as activism fits in all of these this gen larger movement for human rights, because sometimes as artists we're very impulsive. We're, just wanna make the art to process our own feelings and feel better. But for me, it's like I always need to know what the organizations are doing, what type of change they're focusing on, so that the art that I'm making can be a part of this larger force. It's so that it's not something that, I just do to feel better about the topic.
I mean, that's probably what makes your art like so accessible, the fact that you do go to all of these lengths. And I think it's really great that the people in Chechnya, they actually responded well to your video, because lots of people exploit others' trauma and the things that they're going through. So no, really conscious decisions that you've made that have just added to you becoming a household name, and I think it's just amazing, honestly.
Thank you.
Of course. So I have just a couple more questions for you. From working on films to working on music videos, like I saw the Rita Ora one that you did, and Bang, which was really interesting. But on that one, you were assistant choreographer, so you got to just focus solely on the dance. Do you prefer it when you get to just focus on the dance, or do you like prefer to be in control of the whole project?
So right now I've been focusing all of my efforts more on directing. Next year I'm working on my new short film. It's my first film that is more narrative with actors and the scripts. It's still gonna have elements of movement, but it's like, as I like to joke, my first normal film instead of dance. But I think I like having both, because as a person who, as a choreographer, an assistant choreographer, I get to go on these very big sets with a lot of production value behind them, a lot of smart choices. I get to collaborate with a lot of amazing directors, so then I can soak up all of the things that I see on set and then use that in my own work. I think it's a very unique position to be in, because sometimes people very early on decide they want to be a director, and it's a very lonely process getting to learn all of the things you need. So I get to, sometimes it's nice to go work on a project and be just in charge of the choreography, but then I'm also, meeting stylists, set designers, all of these people that then I can invite to work on my own projects that I self-direct. And right now I'm producing also a lot of my work, which is it's great, but also very exhausting. So sometimes on a large set, even just seeing that, oh, there's a person who's in charge of just that one thing, and you're like, oh, maybe I don't need to do, 25 things on my own set. That's really great. And working on the Rita Ora video was really amazing. We worked with a choreographer called Becky Hicks. She's also from the UK. And it was a really cool moment, because all of the dancers in the video were Bulgarian, so it was also a really nice experience for them. We shot for 4 days, and one of the funniest moments was, there's this scene that's like at the strip club, and Rita is like looking amazing, and she goes down on all fours and like crawls to the mirror, and she like kisses the mirror, and then she does this like gun gesture. So when we were rehearsing for blocking the camera, I was the stand-in for Rita, and there were all of these like very sleazy extras. They were like these older guys with like cigars and whiskey and like silk shirts, like they were supposed to look very cringe. And so the room was set like one-sided mirror, so when you're inside the strip mirror, you don't see the people from the outside, but from the outside they can see you.
Okay.
So I was we were rehearsing with the dancers, and I was Rita, like crawling down on all fours and kissing the mirror, and there were these 20 men just watching me do it over and over and over again. And in those moments, you're like, wow, this is my job. Like, crazy. Like, how did I get here? It's amazing and weird and so fun.
From wanting to be a doctor to standing in for Rita Ora crawling across the strip club. See, life's a journey. It's all
You never
about
know what each next project is going to be. Sometimes, you know, you're getting a brief and it's like, okay, for this one we need to cast like the alien, and then the people running on the rolling globe, and then this person and that person. You're like, wow, like we just shot an ad with penguins and puppets and an alien. Like, what?
What's next? Oh, so last question for you then, Costa. What advice would you give to any young person who wants to pursue a career in dance or directing or producing or any of your other hats?
I would say, be very clear from the beginning, like, what role or what position you want to be in, and then just make sure you build some type of presence for yourself. Like, you know, a lot of the projects that for me got me to where I'm working now was things that I'd done just with friends or projects that I believed in, and then I just made it easy for people online to find who I was, like what I believe in and examples of the work. It can feel like a very basic piece of advice, but now when I'm bringing in dancers or other choreographers on projects, sometimes it's so hard to like find one good picture of them online. And these are people that like I stand by 100%. I know they can do an amazing job, but the way they've positioned themselves online is like a bit more, maybe they look like they're doing it casually just for fun, or you know, they haven't picked out the things that immediately like would grab someone's attention. So it's about, you know, if you can, make sure you have a website. It can be really basic. Make sure on your social media, it's, if you feel comfortable with that, have your name on your social media profiles, and then like people should be able to see something that you're proud of in 5 seconds, because sometimes it's so quick. The turnaround, especially on commercial projects, is like we need these five people confirmed by the end of the day. So the easier you make it for people to trust you, then the easier the jobs will come. I think that's my piece of advice.
Costa, thank you so much. I've actually really enjoyed having this chat with you, and I think we've got some really good answers. So I appreciate you taking the time out from your schedule.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure, and I love the questions and just getting to connect with you also.
Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as VoiceMagUK. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider helping us make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin McLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night, and you can find more of his work on incompetech.com. Tom Innes was the executive producer.